Good morning. So the last on and off over the course of the summer, we've been teaching from the idea of the Vineyard five-step prayer model. Oh, by the way, hi, I'm Patrick. For those of you who don't know me, you must be new here because I've been here for a while. The last few years, I've been hiding out in Urban Hope more than up here, so I've been somewhat absent. If you haven't seen me in a while, I apologize. I don't know. Is that the right word? All right. Good morning. Good morning. I tend to be a little different in the way that I teach as opposed to how Scott and Tab and most other people teach. I have a habit of standing on furniture. I expect feedback from the audience. If you don't like what I'm saying, if you have a question, interrupt me. Seriously. Okay? And I was thinking, if you have any objections to anything I say today, if you don't feel like shouting it out, write it down. If you have any questions, write it down, hand it to me, hand it to my wife. She's the long-suffering platinum blonde in the back row. Or someone in leadership, or email me, or text me, or get it to me, or something like that. And then I will form the last 2 weeks of this teaching around your objections or questions or concerns. Okay? Some of what we're delving into when we talk about healing prayer and all this stuff goes into an area that some churches have rejected entirely. And some people in our midst may have also rejected these ideas. The basic principle is that Jesus still talks to us today. Some faith movements in the Christian church believe that with the end of the apostolic age, when the apostles died and the Bible was formed, that canon has been closed. And what they believe is that all you need is the Bible. One, all you need is the Bible. Two, you need the Word of God. What's the Word of God? Who's the Word of God? Jesus. So do you think they mean that only literate people who can read text get to meet Jesus? Thank you. I've got about 7 hours of content that I intend to knock down in 15 minutes. So you know, rabbit trails, really big. I got to try to keep off those. Anyways, so I won't mention, I'm not to name names, but certain theological movements in churches, what do they pray about if they don't believe you can interact with Jesus and the Holy Spirit? I was at one of these churches, beautiful church, like about a big congregation, bunches of people, and some woman was in church with kidney stones, and her health was suffering, and she wanted prayer. And the pastor stands up there with a microphone going, okay, we're going to pray for Donna. And I could just see him kind of struggling with, he's not going to pray that the Holy Spirit would heal her, because that doesn't fit their theology. And I just thought, wow, so you really believe that Christ is dead? And he no longer interacts with us, or only through reading about him. And I just felt so sad for them. One of the foundational concepts of this church movement is that we embrace the Bible, every word and comma of it, even though the original Hebrew didn't have punctuation. We embrace everything in the Bible as literally true. And the Bible tells us to keep praying and to expect a miracle. So part of Scott wanting to do this series is we realize in the leadership team that we need to be praying more. So how do we get people praying more? Well, we need a bigger prayer ministry team. Hands up, who's on the prayer ministry team? Okay. And our idea is, as the cute blonde at the back just said, the idea is y'all are getting the five-step model, y'all are trained, y'all are on the prayer ministry team. Okay? This is kind of a radical thing we're doing. We're going to put you all on the prayer ministry team. So at the end of the next service in September, at the end of September, when we say, could the prayer ministry team come forward? Everybody come forward. Freak Scott out just for fun. He's not here today, so we can, you know, plan these things. Anyways, so we're on the fifth step. We must develop a lifestyle of making room to hear God's voice. We must take the risk of obeying that voice. I think this is the number one biggest hurdle And those denominations that have rejected the voice of the Lord is because there is a potential to run into all sorts of nuttiness. I remember hearing about one church that was really, really into the Holy Spirit. And someone said, the Holy Spirit said, don't wear red anymore. So they all stopped wearing red. So some balance, you know. The great prophets of the Old Testament, they would prophesy and they wouldn't just go, hey, I got an idea. They would linger in their prophecy and they would share it with other prophetic people and they would look at scripture and they would weigh it out. But they made the attempt. So we must make room to hear God's voice and then take the risk of obeying that voice. Understanding that occasionally we're going to get it really wrong. Okay? Just the other day, I was talking to my mechanic. My truck was broken. It happens. It's 20 years old, older than some of you. And we were chatting, you know, talking about Jesus and healing prayer and miracles. And he said, you know, I struggle with this. Like, how do I know if it's me or if it's Jesus? Which is a question many of you are probably asking right now. Yeah, how many people are struggling with that thought? How do I know, is it me or is it Jesus? Right? Okay. There's a section in the Bible called the whatevers. Think about this. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Here's the idea. Christ says, or the Bible says, to take our thoughts captive to Christ. Who is Jesus? In a very worldly sense, Jesus is the idea, the thing, the Son of God that created our reality, okay? So even atheists believe in Jesus because they believe that something created our reality. That's Jesus. Northrop Frye says that we create our reality by walking with Jesus. The Christian advantage is that we're aware that we're not alone and we're walking with someone. And we call that ness. That consciousness, that idea, we call that Jesus, okay? Some people call him Yahweh. Some people say Holy Spirit. Some people say Father God. This is the intrinsic ingredient, the factor, the thing that created our reality, and we walk with Jesus. As a Christian, we know we're walking with Jesus. Jesus created us, reality, everything. Everything Jesus did was good, yes? So when you have a thought, when you have an urge, when you have an unction to do something good, that's Jesus. I challenge you with this, that it is as simple as that. If you're praying for somebody and you have a positive, life-giving thing to say, that's Jesus. Why not? Any objection to that idea? It's as easy as that. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to necessarily pull open the Bible and find the scriptural reference that lines up perfectly to it, although I guarantee there probably is. When you walk towards the door and there's someone behind you and you pause and you go, I should hold the door open for them. That's a nice thing. That's Jesus. Okay? Simple. Don't make it complicated. So we hear God's voice. We appreciate that aspect of ourself that seeks to do good. Conversely, how many people here believe in the devil or demonic? Yeah, okay. This is great. I was in Urban Hope once, and Christine asked me to do grace, say grace. And I'm like, I can't say grace. So I stood up and I went, how many people here believe in Jesus? And out of the 100 people there, like 4 people put their hand up. And I said, okay, how many people here believe in the devil? Everybody put their hand up. And I went, wow. So then I said something really inappropriate to them. I said, I just want to let you know, I didn't have a mic, the devil is a, and I swore, and I meant it. The devil is that lack of vision, that crappy voice, that dark voice. The devil exists in the shadow. He's outside of the light of Christ. So the thoughts that you have that are negative, dark, destructive, we hand those to the devil and we reject those as lies. Make room to hear God's voice. Take those negative thinking and go, oh, that's a lie. I don't need that. And when you hear the nice, helpful, loving thought, that's Jesus. I'm going to do that. I'm going to walk with that. Five-step model, interview, diagnostic decision, prayer selection, prayer engagement, post-prayer direction. I'm going to go through these really fast. The interview, simply, what would you like prayer for today? Okay. Diagnostic decision. Jesus, what do I do with this? You don't pull out your medical textbook. You don't go over to Bruce and say, Bruce, this guy's got a, I think he has an abscess and I need to, no, you just go, Jesus, what do I do with this? Is it spiritual? Is it physical? What's the root cause? Prayer selection. Jesus, what do I do with this? Hey, it's the same question. Ask God, ask Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit. Pray to God and speak from God. Pray as God directs you. Pray specifically and for effect. Question, could it be any simpler? So, what would you like prayer for? I got a sore shoulder. Okay, Jesus, what's going on? He just has a sore shoulder. Okay, Jesus, can you heal his shoulder? Okay, bang, bang, bang. Simple. Keep it simple. Prayer engagement, which Scott talked about last week. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Pray with your eyes open. Start praying. Keep it simple. No yelling. Okay, we're at week 5. Post-prayer direction. So you've gone through the steps. If you forget the steps, it doesn't matter. It's a form, it's a model, it's an idea, it's empowering, it's going to help you. You get through the steps, and when you're done, which we'll talk about in a minute what that means, it's good if you can counsel the person on what to do next. This is tricky, okay? This is not a time for platitudes nor extended counseling. This is prayer ministry. How many people here are licensed counselors? No? None? Oh, Marilla's not here. Okay? We're not counselors. We're not, well, one of us is a retired doctor, but we're not doctors. And you're not poised. You're not there going, well, you know, I never sin, but I think you should stop sinning. I'm not an addict, but you should try harder not to be an addict anymore. I know you're addicted to pornography, but just don't look. No, that's not helpful. Little things like, understand that you've been healed, that healing has begun in your body, and pray into that. Walk with Jesus. Read your Bible. Simple things. The Lord has blessed you today. Maybe you have a Bible scripture comes to your mind and you can push them towards that. You're walking somebody from darkness into light, even if you just prayed for a sore shoulder. So what's useful follow through on that? Think in those terms. Don't try to fix them. That's Jesus's job. If you're dealing with an addict, the situation in front of you is wildly complicated. All they need is to be heard and be seen and be loved. They don't need to be preached at. They don't need a pious, well, I've never experienced this, but I don't think you should do it anymore. That's not helpful. Defer up and to others. This is really important, which is why I've got this massive whiteboard here. Okay. Two ideas of deferring up. Deferring up, by the way, is like this. In the middle of prayer, somebody starts manifesting a demon and their head starts spinning around and their projectile green vomit, just like in that movie. And you go, I don't know how to deal with this. Okay, that's a bit extreme. In my entire life of prayer, I've dealt with two people who were demonically possessed and it was nothing like that. But you're praying for somebody and you encounter a situation that you're not comfortable with. Maybe it triggers you. Or you're praying about it and you just go, wow, this is big. I don't know what to do. Lean into Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to do? And if you feel, it's too much, you defer up. So in deferring up, there's two ideas. There's who to defer up to, and there's where. Who to defer up to? Okay, so let's just assume y'all are praying for somebody and things get a bit funky. You're here in the building. Who would you defer up to? You guys know the answers. Who said God? So God is the first line. Oh God, what do I do now? Oh my God. That's a very common prayer. Holy Spirit, which I'm just going to write HS because everybody already knows how bad my writing is. Jesus, Tab, Patrick, Scott, Laura, Margaret Ellen, Twyla. Here's her phone number. Y'all know who to defer up to. Several weeks ago, there was a prayer going on down front here, and a member of our prayer ministry team who's been on the team for like 10 years, she calls out, "Patrick," and I go, and I knew immediately, okay, something's going on. And it was pretty heavy stuff. It was childhood abuse and trauma manifesting in the moment, and she was like, ah! So she deferred up. First to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, always first. And if you don't feel confident, if the person's triggering you, maybe they're struggling with something that you've struggled with, bring in somebody else. Post-prayer direction. You know, I can see that you've got crippling loneliness. Why don't you talk to Scott or Tab or Jason Baskerville about joining a small group? Okay? Defer up. Bring in somebody with different knowledge. You're praying for somebody and they've got a heart for worship and they don't have an opportunity to worship. You say, hey, Lance, maybe you should talk to Andy. That's deferring up. That's deferring out. That's post-prayer direction. Okay, good. So with the idea of deferring up and post-prayer direction, remember, you are not Jesus. Do not try to be Jesus. Be prepared to defer up. Okay? Where? Let's say you're praying for somebody and you realize that they're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Are you going to fix them?
No.
What are you going to do? Defer up. To who? Where would you send somebody with PTSD? Morella Smith, counseling. I prayed for somebody with inoperable brain cancer. I'm going to pray for their healing. I'm going to dig into it. I'm going to bring in gifted healers to pray with me. But in the end, I'm going to tell them to go see a doctor. Contrary to popular belief, doctors are not evil. Right, Bruce? Some are, I know. The medical community is a blanket that surrounds the idea of healing. They get it wrong. They get it right. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't trust doctors. Okay? We defer up to those institutions. If you're praying for somebody and they're homeless, then you can send them to Christine Lakatos or People in Urban Hope, or you can suggest government agencies, or you can sit there and bring out your phone and look up some places that they might go to. Understand that you're not going to sit there for half an hour digging into stuff. That's not your job. Your job is to go, you know what, you should talk to this person. We're talking about front of church prayer ministry, so this should be a relatively fast process. You're not going to spend an hour talking to them about getting shelter and dealing with their homeless situation. You're going to defer them to somebody else. In this case, my go-to is always Christine, because she works in that community every day of the week. Yes, ma'am. You are not responsible for their healing. What was the question again? What if they don't want to go to somebody else? So you're deferring up and you're saying, this is beyond me. You should go talk to one of these people on this list, or you should go talk to this list or whatever. And they go, I don't want to. You go, okay. Jesus loves you. Have a nice day. Which takes us to number four. Know when you are done. When you're done praying for somebody, you are done. Let go when you are done. There's almost always a moment in prayer where it's just like the air goes out of the balloon and I'm done. Know that you're done. Don't cling to the person you're praying for. Don't cling to their healing. Their healing is theirs. I liken prayer ministry to UPS delivery service. Okay. Can I have a volunteer from the audience? Let's just someone come up.
Lance is a volunteer.
Come on up, Lance. So, I'm praying for Lance for healing. Can I get a second? Because we should always have threes, right? Two on one. Ryan, come on up. There's an important principle here, the idea of knowing when you're done, you're done. So, Lance has asked for prayer. I am just Patrick. I cannot heal Lance. But the Lord has it in his mind to heal Lance. So the Lord hands me the gift of healing, and I'm just the delivery boy, I take this gift of healing and I hand it to the recipient, and he receives the gift. Okay? I'm literally nobody. I've handed him the gift. I'm done. I'm out of here. Okay? I'm not responsible for what he does next. I'm not even responsible for whether or not the healing lands. I've done my part. Know when you're done. And when you're done, you're done. I don't want to see you counseling somebody for an hour at the front of the church. We don't want you to spend an hour, you know, diagnosing why they have a sore stomach. That's not our job. By the way, these books are foundational in the prayer ministry of the Vineyard Church. Power Points, Power Healing, and Power Evangelism by John Wimber and Kevin Springer. That's why I brought them up. That's a five-step prayer model book. Any questions? Yes, you at the back.
What if there are visitors here today and they don't feel comfortable to be involved?
So if you're new here and you don't feel comfortable participating, stand back and observe. Pray about it, see how you feel about it. How is this affecting your heart? If you're taking offense at what's going on, come and talk to me about it. I'll include your offense or a response to the offense in the upcoming weeks, because it's really important that we tackle these issues. Because what we're discussing, like I said previously, can be really controversial for some people. And for some people, it's like, well, of course you do that. So it's a variety of people. What was the other bit of that, Bruce?
People don't know the Lord, and you're aware that they have never made a commitment to Christ.
Okay, that's a really good point, and that's a huge hedge of information in there. One of the challenges with putting the whole church into the prayer ministry team is that there may be a couple predators in our midst, or there may be non-Christians who have skewed ideas. My thinking is, let them pray. However, those of us in leadership who have discernment and are aware, we're going to step into the prayer with them. And we're going to gatekeep, we're going to watch, we're going to create a safe space. We had a member of our congregation a number of years ago who was a predator. And he came here and he was after women. He always wanted to be alone with them. And we'd catch him off on the side praying for women and be like, Jesus loves you and so do I. You know, and it would be like, okay. And we would like step between them and go, hi. Leadership creates a safe environment. Jesus creates a safe environment. I have no problem with non-Christians praying, because if they have that unction to pray, then the Lord is already present in them and moving through them. Because if they're doing good, if it's actually good and not just self, you know, aggrandizement. But leadership's role is to watch, to shepherd. You know, shepherd doesn't tie all the sheep up and let them and not let them move. The shepherd steps between the wolf and the sheep. The shepherd watches the flock. Okay, good for now. So when you're done, and sometimes when I'm done, I'll walk away and leave the person standing there. There's a phenomenon occasionally where the presence of the Lord falls so heavily on someone that they fall down. We call it being slain in the spirit. Happened to Chris a couple weeks ago. And just let him lay on the ground. We pray for him a little bit, make sure he's good, and then we just walk away. Because it's him and it's that person, and it's between them and Jesus. There's this concept of don't steal the blessing. Someone gets laid out in the spirit. Let them go. Don't say, are you okay? Wake up. No, I'm just walk. Walk. Use your discernment. Let leadership lead.
Say goodbye, sort of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Any more questions, concerns? Don't push them down. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We won't mention the churches that do that. Why? Yes, sir. Good question. Okay. The question was, if you're in the congregation and the Lord points someone out to you and you go, I feel like the person needs prayer, what do you do? You walk over to them and you say, excuse me, ma'am or sir, would you like prayer today? And if they say no, you go, well, bless you in Jesus' name, and you're done. If they say yes, you pray for them. Now, prayer ministry team concept, 2-on-1, so bring someone with you. If it's a woman, make sure you have a woman with you who's in authority. I might like, oh, the Lord's telling me that Alexa needs prayer today. So I'll do one of two things. I'll say, hey, could you go pray for Alexa? Or I'll say to the cute blonde at the back, come here for a sec. And she'll say, what? And I'll say, can you come pray with me? Who? I'm busy. And I'll say, come with me. Let's go pray for Alexa. And she'll go, okay. And then I've got a woman with me as a safe person to make sure that we're praying properly. So just go pray for them, basically. Ask permission first. Yes, ma'am.
So what about somebody that's new to praying for yes. someone and they say something negatively or...
Okay, good question.
You know, and...
Good question.
And so if we can look at that from yep. the point of view of the person praying...
Yep.
Right. And then also say you're receiving prayer from someone and they say something to you about, I don't know, yeah. you've got 5 years to live. Or, yeah. I mean, like, you know, how do you respond to those things?
Yeah. So there's an awful lot in that. And I would like you to email me that so we can cover it in the future weeks. But super briefly, you are not bound to let people pray for you. And if someone's praying for you and they throw something out there that isn't life-giving and good, then you it's very hard, but you can just go, thank you, no, I'm done. You don't worry about offending people. You can just turn it off. Or you can just in your spirit go, and they're dealing with their own crap, this isn't me. We're Canadian, so it's very hard to impolitely interrupt somebody. How many times have you been in the restaurant going, this food is dry and it has no flavor, it's too expensive and I only got 4 French fries. And the waiter and the server walks up and says, how's everything tasting? And you go, oh, it's delightful. And then they walk away going, I'm getting a big tip. And you're going, ah, garbage. And you keep eating it. Anyways, same kind of thing. It's hard to be impolite. If someone's loading stuff on you that's not good, you stop them. It can be really messy. Let's be honest. Depending on how you phrase it. The nice thing is to be polite, be Canadian. Thank you, no. Oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Make an excuse. Be real, but it's fine to end it. If someone loads some crap on you that is negative, go to somebody on this list and say, someone just prayed this over me, okay? And then you don't have to embarrass the person who was prophesying stuff on you and get them to pray with you about it. So really quick demonstration. So we're going to do an actual live demo. Last week there was a demonstration, but we're actually going to pray for somebody really quickly now, okay? The reason I bring up the thing about practice, by the way, is that when I pray, stuff hits me fast. I decided I wanted to be good at prayer, so I set about praying a lot. I was praying for 3 to 5 people a week for the past 15 years, every week. So in the same sense that George is an excellent bass player because he practices every day or every other day, George has gotten really good. So just because I move through the steps really fast and I hear quickly, it's because I've practiced a lot. You're all open to be better at this than me. It just takes time, okay? So I have been criticized for going too fast. So just to let you know, if I hear quickly, take that as a good thing. That this is open to you as well. Totally. It's just practice. And it won't take you 15 years because you're all smarter than me. I learn slowly. Okay. Who would like to receive prayer today? Lance, would you like to receive prayer today? Stand up. Okay, so we're gonna model an interaction, but we're actually gonna do it. So Lance has come forward for prayer. I've asked Ryan to assist me in praying for Lance. What would you like prayer for today, sir?
More romance in my marriage.
Okay. This is what's come forward. So, there's the interview. What would you like prayer for? I'd like more romance in my marriage. Diagnostic decision. Okay. Is it okay if I place my hand on you?
Yes.
So, in my mind, I go, okay, that's interesting. So diagnostic decision, Jesus, what's going on here? So Jesus, what's going on here? Ryan, you do it at the same time. Jesus, and we're going to be open, so hopefully your wife doesn't kill you after this. Then we get to do resurrection prayer. You could have just gone with the sore shoulder. So what I'm hearing and asking the Lord, Lord, what's going on here? And what I'm sensing is that Lance is feeling lonely. Okay? Simple. Sorry, Alexis. So now I'm going to go, okay, Jesus, what do I do with that? Right? Diagnostic decision is, Jesus, what's going on? And I sense in my spirit that the Lord is saying, Lance is feeling lonely. Prayer selection. And I go, I don't know what to do. I really don't. So prayer selection, Jesus, what do I do now? Because I don't know what to do, man. I mean, I know a lot of different prayer models, but what do we do here? Okay. So I'm going to now enter into prayer, and it's going to be fluid, and it's going to be based on what I feel the Lord is wants to say to Lance. Okay? All right. Mike. So thank you, Lord, for Lance. Lance, I believe that Jesus wants you to know that he sees your heart and he knows that you're a kind and loving person. And that the Lord blessed you with this woman years ago before you were ready. And I feel the Lord saying that you've gone through Psalm 23 with her, that you've been through the valley of the shadow of death with her, and that the Lord is now leading you to the path in your marriage of the bounty, of the table of bounty. The 23rd Psalm, there's a valley of the shadow of death, and the Lord places a table before me, and the table groans under the weight of the Lord's blessing, and my cup overflows. The Lord's cup of love for you and your spouse, that cup is the cup of love. It's Christ's sacrifice and blood being poured out for you as a couple, poured out for you as a couple. And I pray that you would step into that space and just allow your love for your wife would be that figure of the chalice, the holy chalice filled with the love and the blood of Christ overflowing into your wife. So I believe what the Lord is saying, Lance, is that the Lord has uniquely positioned you to be head of your household and to lead your wife by loving her and transparently being her friend, being her safe place, that the Lord has given you employment and honored you in your workplace to make you a powerful man of God, to take you from the broken child that you were early in your relationship to the man that you are now. And that the intimacy and the love that you want from your wife will come from not demanding it, but simply being a safe place for her and for building your household into a beautiful, loving, safe place. So in Jesus' name, okay, so that's prayer engagement. Now we're going to go to step 5, post-prayer direction. So in Jesus' name, I feel the Lord saying to take your job and your work seriously, to not, what's the word I'm looking for? To not feel bad about your job, to understand that your job gives you power and authority, that your job is a blessing. So I want you to, I think you need to think about your job as a blessing, that you get to work, you get to go out every day and sacrifice for your family, that is an honor and a blessing. So value your work, grieve when you leave every morning and come home excited that the 8-hour sacrifice you just did through work is going to bless your family. So rather than coming home bitter because you've worked all day, come home with an expectation of love and contentment because of the blessing you are through this job. And I'm done. Okay? There's the 5-step model. Now, we never whisper in someone's ear. Ryan, what are you getting? Now, usually what I'm praying with somebody else, I usually let them go first because once I get into it, I just go. So I would normally say, hey, Ryan, what are you getting?
I saw that God's made, so he made you whole. There was little pieces and God made you whole and you're learning how to walk in that, both in your marriage, in your life, in your job. And it's a beautiful thing. Like, Lance is one of the strongest men I think I've ever met in my life. But yeah, in terms of this prayer, I just saw that God, you know, he brought you together. He pieced these parts together. And you're able to supernaturally walk this stuff out. What you've gone through, I don't even have a frame of reference for all the highs and lows kind of thing. And you guys as a couple, you guys are, the ministry that you guys are going to have out of this is going to be profound.
That's foretelling. That's prophetic foretelling. Keep going.
That's it.
That's prayer engagement. Post-prayer direction. What should he do now?
Go love your wife. Go hug your wife.
Good. Done. Go hug your wife. Okay. Was that hard?
Yeah. For some people, it might be.
Ryan has excellent discernment. He's been practicing the gift for a while. I've got reasonable discernment. I've been practicing the gift for a while. So we get in and we're quick. If you stand there and you've got nothing, okay, this is a big fear. What if I go up and I'm praying for somebody and the Lord gives me nothing? Then what do you do? What do you do?
Improvise.
No. I think Jesus is saying, go have a sandwich. You look hungry. What do you do?
Bless.
What?
Bless.
Bless them, defer up. Yes, those two things. Somebody comes forward for prayer. I'm not hearing anything. I'm going to parrot back to them their prayer request in the form of a blessing. So, Ryan, come up for a sec. Glenn, can you come up too? I need a second because we've got to do it by the model. This isn't going to be entirely honest what I'm going to do. Interview. What do you like prayer for?
My back.
Diagnostic decision. Jesus, how do you want me to pray about this? And in this moment, I'm going to pretend that I get nothing. Back. So I'm praying, oh, Jesus, how do you want me to pray for Ryan's back? And in this moment, I get nothing. I'm just standing here feeling like the Statue of Liberty. I start to sweat. I start to feel embarrassed. I start to doubt my faith, all this panic. I get so spun out on why am I even doing this that now I'm blocking Christ and I can't hear. So maybe I'll go through repentance and I've been here for half an hour now. Okay, just don't do that. Just go, you know what? His prayer request was he has a sore back. So I'm in a bad space. I'm spun. I'm not hearing anything. So I'm just going to give him a blessing. I'm going to honor his request with a blessing. So thank you, Jesus. Always start off right out of the Lord's Prayer. Start off being thankful. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave Ryan the courage to step forward today. Lord, Ryan's back is sore. So Jesus, please bless Ryan and heal his back. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glenn, are you getting anything? How are you going to pray since you've got nothing? What are you going to do? Model the behavior for the congregation.
Thank you, Jesus, for Ryan's courage to come forward and just we pray your blessing on his back and for your healing.
Okay. You've got nothing to worry about. But the only thing I'm saying is take a second to see if you're hearing the Lord. Give yourself that moment to let it sink in and go from there. Okay. Jesus, please heal Ryan's back. Lord, take all the pain out. Lord, just relieve him of that pain. Okay, here's the model. I'm sorry, we're getting wee complicated. Ryan, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sore was your back?
Like a 6.
Where's it at now?
Like a 3, maybe a 2.
No, really. He's not kidding.
Seriously, guys. I threw my back out yesterday because I'm old. And it's out of 3.
Yes, sir.
What if they say?
Then you can either say you can pray again. You can post prayer direction. You can pray again. There's a sort of missional prayer where you go, in Jesus' name, I speak to the pain in Ryan's back, and I take authority over his physical body. I have no authority over his spirit or his consciousness, but I have authority over his physical body because he's just mud carefully crafted into human form. So I take authority over that body, and I say to the pain, leave now in Christ's name. I command you, pain, leave this man's body. You can try that. How's your back feel now?
It's just a little tight.
So, hey, it works. It's almost as if all this prayer stuff we keep talking about actually works. I mean, you know, like in my faith walk, this prayer stuff works and I see miracles. So it's like, what are you going to do with that? You know, you can doubt Jesus all day long. You can struggle with your faith all day long. But when you step into that moment and you take the risk and you pray for somebody and you see healing, even just a little bit, what do you do with that? So thank you, Jesus, for the healing you've done to Ryan today. Thank you for giving us all the courage to step up into this moment. So I'm going to say that we're done for today. May the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you all the days of your life. I pray that the Holy Spirit would fall upon us all in power in this moment and would see you forward into your life. Thank you all for coming today. Bless you all in Jesus' name. Go forward in the love, grace, and hope of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.